All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.
It's not just about watching the game, it's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it, it's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Did you get a chance, speaking of being shocked by Vince McMahon's tweet, did you see Fisher's? Did you see? Well, it wasn't a tweet. Did you see John Fisher's letter?
I did. I hadn't seen that. I've seen the reaction to it.
It's pretty disingenuous. Like, there's a lot of truth in what he wrote. Mm-hmm. I do think they submitted proposals. I do think they submitted different ideas. Mm-hmm. I don't believe any of them were done in good faith. Mm-hmm. I don't believe any of them were genuine efforts to try to stay in the city of Oakland. I don't think he actually worked with the city to try to keep the A's in Oakland.
The thing that I have, and I'm going to say this pretty clear.
Are we going normal? Okay, sorry. Sorry.
I'm not here to defend John Fisher, nor will I ever be. But what I would like to know is, when did he try to leave Oakland? Not asking somebody to challenge it. I'm just saying, like, when, because he was there for a long time. And was he genuinely making efforts for a while and then got to the point where he's like, I don't want to be here, or it's not going to work here? I'd like to know. I'm not challenging. Because it didn't seem like they were, it doesn't feel like it was an 18-year plan to leave Oakland. Like, when did that flip?
Oh, for sure.
When did that flip? When was he like, I just can't get it done here. I'm ready to move on. And the reason I asked that is, were the times before, were they genuine? Was he really, at any point, really trying to get something done? I believe that he was, but it's one of those things where he was trying to get over, right? Like, I'll stay here if I get 100% of the profits and I don't have to, you know what I mean? I'll do that, which goes to your point where it might have been, that may not be realistic. That may be disingenuous. Although, isn't that how it happens with building stadiums being built?
It specifically what?
I don't know. It's like sometimes, like, the city puts up the majority of the money, or is it on the flip side? Does the owner put up the majority of the money and reaps all the rewards? Like, how does that?
Well, I think they're different. There's different levels. Like, there's different. Like Vivek, for example. Like, there's the arena. Obviously, there's everything surrounding the arena, which I think they own a lot of. Mm-hmm. And then there was a tax where the city wound up paying for it. Mm-hmm. I think every arena is a little bit different, but most of them are some combination of the own, like, a portion of the bill being fronted. And I think a lot of where you run into things is that there's some owners who don't want to pay for anything.
Right. And I feel like that's where Fisher was.
That's right. And that's where... Oh, why would you? Why would I? Because the city gets to benefit from this. Mm-hmm. And in a sense, he's absolutely right. Like, Sacramento benefits, the city of Sacramento benefits by having the Golden One Center. That's 100% truth. I see Drew Down mentions Joe Lacob built the Shea Center, 100%. Like, yeah, Joe Lacob, Jerry Jones, those guys
the
are
Giants,
like
the Peter McGowan and them, the Giants.
Yeah.
That's the exception, not the rule.
Yeah, those are different tax bracket guys. Mm-hmm. That's like Kenny shopping for houses on his day off.
How'd I get in this?
It's just different tax brackets. Some of us got to, you know, go about it a different way. We don't go looking at homes on our day off. Is that what you got, Jasmine, for your anniversary, by the way? Did you buy her a new house?
No.
Oh, I was just asking.
I'm not in the market for a new house. What is this guy talking about?
Did you get a new TV? It's like buying a stick of bubble gum, last I heard.
Well, no, she
for
would,
you it is.
For the anniversary, the gift would have been getting rid of one TV. Oh. She's like, we have entirely too many TVs in this house.
Kenny's going to try to sneak one more in and just hope that Jasmine doesn't know.
Where is Kenny's next TV?
The man had one outside. Like,
I told her I need
one.
A new one in the garage. This poor TV, salute to it. It's been, I got it in 2010. And it's still,
it still works. Time.
Yeah, that is
still
a pretty long time.
It's, you know, flat screen or whatever the case may be. But, you know, I said, you know, I need a new one. And she said, why don't you put the one that we have that goes outside up there?
That's a good point.
I said, no, because that one goes outside.
You got a stadium like Kenny's backyard. You need a TV out there.
It's true. Yeah, I saw Reese playing basketball while Kenny was watching football a couple weeks ago.
You know, it was a nice day outside.
It was. Absolutely. It was good. But I was agitated by, I could see why people were agitated by John Fisher's.
Do you think he should have not said anything at all?
So because he was in a.
The thought was he hadn't spoke, you know, the whole time.
It's, I think.
You're going to lose either way. You got to realize that.
Yeah, for sure. I don't know what A's fans wanted, what the city of Oakland wanted, or fans in the city of Oakland wanted. I feel like they probably wanted him to speak in front of people where he would have to answer questions, a media contingent, something along those lines. I think the idea of a letter where you can get your side of the story out or your version of your side of the story out without being challenged, I think a lot of people saw as a coward act.
And you know, one of the things about it, once again, John Fisher is no sympathetic figure. I'm just talking about like the reality of the situation. Is I don't think there's any Oakland fan, any baseball fan, any person in the media that wants to have a genuine conversation with John Fisher and a real conversation. I think they all just want to tell him how dumb he is, have him say stuff that to a certain degree is going to incriminate him or make him look bad or anything else like that. And he does the job himself, making himself look bad. But in that, I say that to say, if I'm John Fisher, like this, if I get in front of a media scrum, this isn't, nothing about this is genuine. You just want me to say something so you can talk crazy about me.
You know,
now, part of that is, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Part of that is if you're going to make those type of moves, John Fisher, you need to stand up and face the music, regardless of how genuine or not it is. You got to wear that. I talk about this all the time. You got to wear it. You made these moves. You pissed everybody off. You did this. Mm-hmm. Don't be afraid now. Stand up like a real man and take the questions, regardless of how unfair you may think it is.
I think you go out there and take your ass whooping.
Yes.
That's what it is.
100%.
Like you're getting what you want.
The least you could do.
In the end, you call the press conference or media scrum or whatever you want before the last game, and you just know, I'm gonna get my ass beat. Mm-hmm. I'm probably gonna get humiliated. I'm not gonna be able to say anything right. I'm just gonna go out there and take it. Mm-hmm. And I don't think he's capable of doing that.
I don't think so. Even if you give a bunch of non-answers, you need to do that. You need to be, your face needs to be, your voice, all that other stuff.
Like, you need to give people an opportunity to respond. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where so many people are upset is no one can. Twitter manager, post this letter. Mm-hmm. The comments don't matter. Quote tweets don't matter. People's response on social, it doesn't matter. Like he's never going to think about it again. And he is in completely controlled environments.
Yeah.
And I think, well, I don't know. There was no way he was going to say face. There was nothing that was going to make it better. You should have just let people throw the rocks.
The other aspect of this is, and once again, not excusing or anything, but isn't this how it always goes? Like, did Clay Bennett have a medium scrum with Seattle? Did whoever the Baltimore Colts owner was when they drove the Mayflower out in the middle of the night. Did he have a scrum with Baltimore media before he left for Indianapolis? Maybe he did. I really don't know. But that's the Maloofs. Did they? I genuinely can't remember. Did they talk before they sold the team or elected to sell the team? Like, they only talked after everything was done, I think, right?
Well, John would remember better than I would. I don't remember them doing that, but I was 3,000 miles away. Yeah.
That's just what these owners do, man. That's what they do. None of them face the music in the city that they're leaving.
And a lot of people don't. Like, right. I remember, I'll never forget the night Lane Kiffin left Knoxville. Like it's people thought Lane and maybe more importantly Monty, God rest his soul, they were going to be there forever. Mm-hmm. And Lane walks in, the word had gotten out that he's going to USC. Lane walks in to the there's a press conference called. Lane walks in, I'm just enjoyed my time in Knoxville and I thought this was the right move.
No questions. I'm out of here. That's crazy. Yo, that is crazy.
And I apologize to the radio audience. That was a visual bit. Lane walks away and people are shouting questions at him. Mm. Like, what makes USC better? Why did you use Knoxville? Like, they're frustrated, right? And they're yelling these questions at him and he's just walking out.
That reminds me of did Bill Belichick talk to the New York media after he like took the Jets job and then didn't?
Didn't he?
He did a press conference.
Didn't he say this is my last day? Or didn't he do that?
He said something.
I'm resigning as the, like, sir, you didn't even get the job. Wait, what? This was your introductory press conference. What the hell happened?
Yeah, man, it's unfortunate. And I don't want to act holier than now because who knows what situation I'll ever be in. And maybe that's the best way to handle the situation. But you would hope people in those positions would at least, you know, stand up in front of people, answer some questions. Once again, even if they're non-answers, you know what I mean? Like, stand up in front of the people and answer your questions. Like you said perfectly, take your ass whooping.
Yep.
So, you imagine at the end of a show, instead of the Vamos insert team bit or whatever Casey does, I'm going to 1140 and just, we're done.
Oh man, that'd be amazing. Damn shame what happened to Kenny.
You won't be getting that Vamos. You won't be getting that.
You want to get to game number 5 of the top 20 games of the King season?
Yeah.
We are a little short on time, but
yeah. This is a great one.
It is.
This
follow a freaking theme.
Man. So what my partner's talking about is the Kings game number 5. The Kings in double overtime beat the Orlando Magic 138-135, led by 37 points from Malik Monk. He was unbelievable. He hit damn near every big shot in fourth quarter overtime and in the second overtime as well. He was phenomenal. Domantas Sabonis, man, 22 points, 23 rebounds, 12 assists. My goodness. Keegan Murray had 28 in this game. So the stars were out. De'Aaron was the only one who I think was dealing with a little something. I got to look at the list again. Did he sit out the following games? Is that what happened?
Give me 2 seconds. I have it ready for you here. The Raptors were next. He did play in that one. The Pelicans were after that. He played in that one. So he played. He was struggling. I don't want to step on what you're doing. This wasn't the best time for Sacramento.
No. Well, what happened the game before?
Well, you had the loss to the Hornets at the Golden One Center.
Wow.
So that happened.
Yeah.
You get this amazing. You get this amazing double overtime game. Mm-hmm. Chris Duarte started in this one. Now, I'm just telling the story. Like, I'm not trying to be anything. Chris Duarte started in this one. He played 10 minutes. He was 0 of 3. Mm-hmm. You laid out the heroics of Malik Monk, which, again, my goodness, has that been a theme through your list. Kevin Huerter came off the bench. He played 17 minutes, just shy of 18 minutes. The two were a combined 0 of 8. Mm. Again, this was not the best time for Sacramento.
No.
Chris Duarte did not score. Kevin Herter hit a couple of three free throws in this one. Mm. You got a big game from Keegan Murray. And, again, what's been on theme with some of these Kings victories.
Well, there he is, 36 minutes, 5 of 9 from the field, 17 points for Harrison Barnes.
Watching it back, it was like it was the Paolo Banchero show.
Oh,
it was,
man, Paolo went crazy.
It was Kings highlight, Paolo. Kings man. Highlight, Paolo. Kings well, highlight, Paolo. It was like that the entire game.
This game, I believe Orlando set a franchise record for threes. They were 25 of 44
yeah.
from beyond the arc. Six of those by Paolo Banchero. They were cooking.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Is this... This was atypical for...
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Orlando.
Yeah, they were
laughing about it.
Yeah, they were like the worst. I don't even know if they were the worst percentage wise 3-point shooting team in the league, but they had like the lowest attempts per game.
Like they were laughing that they were hitting this level of threes.
Yeah, 25 of 44. But
wow,
this was definitely one of the most exciting games. Malik Monk saving the Kings at least three times. In this game, at least three times, man. What a performance by him. 37 points, 9 assists. He was running the show. He was running the show in that fourth quarter all the way to the second overtime.
We're going to, we'll get to number one Friday, right? We got to catch up. We're going to do two, probably tomorrow.
Yeah, probably tomorrow.
Tomorrow will be a good day to do it. Yeah. So we'll get two games in. We'll get game number four. Game number three, it's not going to be too difficult, I think, for people to pick apart and figure out what these next two games are, or the next handful of games are, as we're down to the cream of the crop for from last season. But we'll come back. We'll talk with Jason Jones. We'll take you all the way till the top of the hour. Steel and KC brought to you by Sky River Casino. Get in on the action. Sky River Casino is the place to play with 2,100 of the newest slot machines and over 80 table games. Sky's the limit at Sky River Casino. All right, our man Jason Jones set to join us here in just a heartbeat. Plenty to talk to Jason Jones about. There he is. I spent 10 minutes trying to log into our Twitter account.
You did it, Dave.
No, I didn't. As a matter of fact, I did not.
Looks different on here.
What's up, Jay?
No, much. I'm just drinking this cheap drink, you know.
What was that? Was that Prime? What was that?
It was Prime, yeah. Grocery outlet had for like 65 cents.
You big Logan Paul guy, huh? You, Logan Paul, Max Crosby. You
guys. Yeah, I'm a big discount guy, yeah. So 66 cents. I'm like, yeah, I'll go ahead and, you know. Can't help if every time I watch WWE, it's just right in my face.
Every
you
know? Freaking time.
Man. And then on top of that, when we were leaving SmackDown, they were giving away Prime. So I was like, what the heck, you know?
They're just giving away Prime. What? That's crazy. It's almost like Nino Brown when he's like, here, kids, just try this out. Test it out. Or no, what was that? That was on Raising Kanan where they were just giving it out to test it. Or maybe it was Snowfall. I don't know.
It's all of the drug movies, KC. Like, it's literally every drug show.
American Gangster, Blue Magic. Here you go. Give it to Derek.
It's that. It's that.
That reminds me of a time I was in Portland. I was at some club with the homies. They go to the bathroom. I'm leaving. The guy goes, hey, would you like some cocaine? I was like, absolutely not. What the hell? I'm just trying to wash my hands, homie. Like, would you like some cum? Like, am I getting punked? Like, who just offers people cocaine?
That was kind of like leaving Soul Bloom. Hey, you want some shrooms? Oh, man. You want some ecstasy?
Under the bridge, they had everything you needed.
It was tough. That was crazy.
I had never been offered just like cocaine from a stranger. Or a friend. I'll make that clear. My friends have not offered me cocaine either. But, you know, you might be out somewhere. You might be hanging out. Somebody might offer you, hey, you want to hit the blunt or something. Just randomly in the bathroom?
That's
would you
crazy.
Like
to? Want to do a line, big dog? Like, what you thinking?
That's a trick.
I was like, no, I'm going to go out. No, I'm going to. Thank you, sir. I'm going to go ahead next. Oh, by the way, my girlfriend says hi. I got, you know.
Hey, what's going on? Do we know? Is Chris Webber safe? Is he good?
I saw him on social media at the Michigan game. He looks, a couple of weeks ago, he looks safe, you know. Okay. And okay. I can verify where she was. So
there we go.
You know, that's how you gotta do it. Weber has nothing to worry about. Okay.
You talked about going to SmackDown on Friday. And somebody said this one time, and it's kind of stuck with me. And I don't know if I've been led as a witness or it's actually how it is. They said going to professional wrestling, like going to Raws and all this other stuff, it actually has the opposite effect of like going to sporting events. Like it's much better on TV than it is in person. What do you guys think about that?
Depends on, sometimes it's weird when you're too close, you can see too much. Mm. I mean, I've been ringside and I'd be like, oh man, he's not hitting it, you know, but that I'll still argue that the energy inside the arena is unmatched compared to TV. Mm. Like, Jey Uso was so over that you can't replicate that on TV. But I think in general with a sporting event, they're just trying to watch. TV is usually going to be better. But to me, you go to the live event for the atmosphere. Mm-hmm. You know, you get the atmosphere. You get I think even in sports, people don't realize just how just physically intimidating these guys look in person. Mm-hmm. Like, you go to an NFL game. You know, you see the size of, say, a left tackle. If you're not around that all the time, you'll just be blown away in the speed of the game in person. And same with wrestling or anything else. The speed in person, you can't duplicate that. So, I mean, I think there's pros and cons either, both ways. But I'm always going to try to catch it live if I can. But if not, you know, TV works fine.
Yeah, I don't care what it looks like. I'm always going to try to go if it's in town because you just got to. But that, I remember somebody saying that one time. And then I think I happened to sit pretty close. Like, I was like, maybe I was sitting behind CC Sabathia. So he was behind Jim Ross or whatever. And I was like two rows behind him. And that's, you get that close, and sometimes you see things you don't want to see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, years ago, I ended up sitting behind the king, and this was when I was covering the Raiders, and they gave a bunch of the Raider players tickets, and they slid me a couple. So I got, and I'm like, I don't know where the seat's going to be. I end up right behind the king and JR. Like, Ric Flair was there that night, The Undertaker. And I'm just like, man, you know, I'm actually getting on. I'm like, can I get myself on TV? I'm trying to duck in between the king and JR. Like, hey, I'm, you know, somebody then, you know, trying to take it. This is back in the day, too, when selfies weren't really good on those old flip phones. I'm trying to get a selfie. It looks terrible. It's all blurry. But hey, yo.
The LeBron James flip phone video that the WWE uses is always amazing.
Because he looks like he's like, compared to Nick, like he's 13 years old.
Looks like a child, has a flip phone that he's taking pictures
like,
with.
Yay, it's like I'm here. And that's honestly one of the cooler parts when you go live, when you see these celebrity, like these ads, like the first time I saw Tyrese Halliburton or the first time I mentioned WWE to him, he was like, he just like completely flipped into a complete kid. He was like, oh man, shit, like, yo, Shawn Michaels and all the other media folks are like, with these two nerds talking about wrestling. Like, and that's how I got along with like Spencer Hawes.
Well,
Spencer Hawes,
the don't big say that. Guy. Don't.
Well, okay. I forgot. My bad. I wasn't trying to start. I'm just saying him. It was Spencer and Brockman and Elston Turner were like the three wrestling guys.
I didn't know Elston was a wrestling guy.
Elston Turner's a big wrestling
really?
Guy. Really? Yeah.
Oh, wow. I had no idea.
Yeah. And remember our good friend Daryl Arata, who, you know, left us for the Warriors? I begged Raymond Ritter, please don't take Daryl. You know, let him stay in Sacramento. And Daryl went and got more rings, you know. You know, if people don't know Daryl's, you know, stat guru, you know, extraordinaire. He's a big wrestling guy. Actually, I got to give Daryl his props because 1 year, was it 2019? We had got some tickets to go, and I was going to see, he said, oh, you got your son. You take these other seats. And they ended up being like the first Raw at Chase Center. Mm. So we got the commemorative chairs.
Oh, wow. Nice. That's okay. Right.
Yeah. It was my son's birthday. So he was like, and my son has this knack that WWE is always in Northern California around his birthday. It's actually on Thursday, but they're always in town around his birthday. So he kind of expects that this is what he's supposed to do for his birthday. I'm like, if they're not in town next year, I don't know what I'm going to tell them. I'm like, hey.
You know, going to have to get pizza like everyone else.
Yeah, I'm like, you have to go ahead and watch Raw on Netflix like the rest of us.
I thought what they did with Jay last night was one of the coolest moments in recent memory. Obviously, the Cody story had great build, but I wasn't sure if they were actually going to pull the trigger and let Jay have that moment. Last night, especially with the way they love Bron Breakker.
Yeah, I was like waiting. Even going back, I was like, I thought he should have took the belt off of Gunther. Mm. I thought Jay was the guy to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, Sam doesn't need the Intercontinental belt for like a fifth time. You know, but, you know, I'll sit back and let Triple H do what he does. And
see, that's the Cody thing that we were talking about. Like when Cody beat Roman, it wasn't like, okay, Roman or Cody needs to hold the belt for the next 4 years, but you need to make his win against Roman meaningful. They completely destroyed the Gunther run, in my opinion, by having Sammy beat him, and then Braun beat Sammy, and now Jay's already beat Braun. Mm. And now it feels like a little less special. Like Sammy got lucky. Mm. Like it did. That's why I'm with Jay. It should have been Jay that did it.
I'm thinking it should have been Jay at a pay-per-view or PLE, whatever they call him. Because if you were going to put the other belt on him, if you're going to do that at SummerSlam, for example, you could have put, you know, I don't know. Are you have Jay win King of the Ring and then take – I mean, to me, I didn't know what they were doing with them, but, I mean, the moment was still the moment.
Yeah.
I mean, if you were out here on at Golden One on Friday when he came out, that place went crazy, and I've been to about two or three events now live where he's been at.
Mm-hmm.
Place goes crazy. I'm like, yeah, what are you guys doing? Yeah. He gets everyone going. So, you know, I got to retweet my story from WrestleMania about him. He was cool to talk to too.
You guys go to Darling Avery together?
No, I you know he, phone interview.
Oh, okay, because Jay was out at Darling Avery this past when he was in Sacramento. He stepped out into the clubs.
Oh, you know, You got to do that, you know.
You're on the road, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you're on the road, you know, or you can just go to the hotel and chill, you know.
Have you seen the McMahon documentary already?
No, I haven't. I'm gonna watch it like everybody. I'm very intrigued. And I wonder just how in the weeds they'll really get.
Mm.
You know, I'm really just curious. I mean, the fact that he allegedly didn't want it out doesn't really tell me a whole lot, because when you're a control person, it could just be one thing. You say yank the whole project.
Mm-hmm.
But I just can't imagine. What the weird part that I've seen is all the other guys coming out saying, you know what? He may have done some terrible things, but that can't ruin my memories of him. Mm. And it's just like, that's not what you want to say.
See, that's where I like.
Or Dwayne. Yeah. That's not what you want to say.
I feel like some guys are going to look bad after this, like the John Cena, the Rock. Like, I think there's some guys who are going to look a little rocky after this.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, I get what you're trying to say, but sometimes it's better to say nothing.
No one's going, man, Sean made great music, but, you know, gosh, I know some people had bad experiences with Sean Combs, but man, he made good music and he was nice to me. Like, literally no one's doing that. Like,
well, no one's doing that publicly, at least. You know, the guys who did it are like, even Stevie J shut up.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, yeah, once the feds got involved, Stephen Jay was like, I don't know that dude. That wouldn't be.
You still got these weird dudes on the internet trying to justify it. Well, you know, these chicks were... Shut up. I mean, read the indictment. No. There's no way to defend this mess.
Yeah. And that's how I feel about Vince, too. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like... I'll ask you guys, is there a way to talk about what he did for wrestling without romanticizing the man? I feel like there is, if we're all being adults.
Absolutely.
And I think those guys should just leave it at that. Like, man, he absolutely revolutionized the game of wrestling. Talk about that. When you talk about him, the person, it's not, well, I can only talk, you know, I'm only going to talk about the good things he did for me. Like, nah, we all see what's out there.
I think in a lot of times with celebrities, I mean, and just people in general, you can do a lot of good and still be a bad person or have done bad things or whatever the case may be. I think, you know, you can't erase what Vince meant for the industry, but that doesn't gloss over some of the obviously bad things. I mean, and you can just even go to some of his storylines and, you know, the historically very racist things that were part of the show. You know, it doesn't, you know, it was almost like they would say, that was just Vince's sense of humor. Like, this will be real funny. It's like, it's funny to you.
Yeah. Vince used the N-word on television.
Yeah.
With an A at the end. He used the N-word because he thought it was cool.
Mm. Yeah.
And no one talked him out of it.
Mm.
They had the nerve to put Booker T in that segment.
Yeah, and from what they say, you couldn't talk him out of anything. If he wanted to do it, he was going to do it. Remember he had the do-rag Vince McMahon era where he was wearing a do-rag. Everybody like, what? Come on, man. You know, but, you know, I think you see it across all types of sports entertainment thing where it's like, how do you separate the art from the person? And I think there's times where you can't. I mean, you can speak to someone's great artwork or their great career and all. You know, I had to go through that when I was writing the story I had about Michael Vick and his documentary. I think it's different, but there's people, no matter what you do, when you mention Michael Vick, they're talking about dogfighting.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be 30 years from now. They're going to be like, well, he killed dogs. You know, and I just think there's going to be some cases like that where...
I understand people who feel that way. Like, that's a hard thing for people to get over.
Yeah, and like I was telling some of our editors, I said, I get it in some ways, though. I mean, there are some people who have cultural... I mean... You know, I grew up, people fought dogs and it didn't seem crazy. And then you start, you know, so I'm not defending it, but I'm also not going to treat Michael Vick like, you know, he's Jeffrey Dahmer. But there's people who aren't going to let go of it. They're going to, you know, no matter what Michael has done since, you know, to help animals and he's changed how he, you know, it's not going to, for some people, they're going to be stuck on that.
Mm-hmm.
Like for some people, Michael Vick's life effectively stopped the moment he went to prison, because they're like, that's who you are. And I didn't realize, it's been what, over 15 years now. Mm. I mean, you forget how, you know, how time goes. But I also think, too, people are very selective about who gets forgiven. Like, Now all of a sudden, Brett Favre is forgiven.
Well, that's
he brought up a very serious illness while being questioned about being a thief.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, convenient. Oh, by the way, I have yeah. So it's like now people are like, well, you know, oh, well, all of a sudden that's the story. Hmm. He wasn't there to discuss Parkinson's.
That's right.
And now that's the headline. Right. And no one's, you know, but there's people who were willing to say, well, you know what? He's sick. It's like, was he sick when he stole?
Hmm. And how many sick people did he steal from?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, so it's like, yeah, it's just crazy how even reading some of the coverage, people are like, hey, it's like, oh my God, such terrible news. I'm not diminishing his illness, but that's not why he was there.
Right.
He was not there to talk about being sick. It to me, it's just as bad as how Sammy forgot how to speak English.
No,
it's just hey, let's ask you about the money you stole. You know, I got diagnosed with this, and I might have CTE. Like, how many people actually say publicly, "I think I have CTE"?
Look,
no evidence of it, by the way, because can't have any. But yeah, right. I might have that right now.
He's like, yeah, I think I have that too. It's like. Okay, so is that how we're going to get out of you talking about the money you stole?
Right, I'll just tell him, well, we'll make sure you get your medicine in prison.
I'm just like, come on, man, you know, but there's going to be people who are going to be like, you know what? Brett was a hell of a quarterback, though.
And look, and once again, you can say that, but that's also going to be part of, like, when you talk about the man, you got to talk about the thief that he is.
Yeah, Brett had some very public, you know, embarrassing off the field things. Man. The thing with the reporter, you know, and you know he was ahead of the curve and sending out the crazy pics. Clearly, you know, he was doing that before on the grainy phone. So I mean,
he was doing on the grainy phone.
He was doing it on a flip phone, you know. But hey, you know, he sure, he won that.
He's a gunslinger. He plays with joy.
Yeah,
he plays with so much joy.
Look at all that passion out there. There's the fifth pick of the game, but my God, he's having so much fun.
Well, Brett Favre ends another NFC championship by throwing an interception, but my God, did he have fun today?
Let's go ahead and blame Antonio Freeman.
Right.
Robert Brooks, what were you doing out there?
Well, speaking of blaming Antonio's, I don't know if we can get any. I think we killed a good 20 minutes. You want to talk about what happened this weekend, man?
I'd rather not, but I mean, I'm here for it. I mean, that was every year they have at least one loss.
That's it.
They have at least one. You go, what the hell was that? Like from the first drive, I said, oh, they're gonna get killed today. Mm. They did not look prepared to play at all from the first drive on offense and defense. I'm like. You know, and the fact they couldn't run on a team without its best defensive player. Mm. I'm quickly seeing why my friends in Chicago didn't like Luke Getsy. I mean, I'm like, are you going to do anything to just run up the middle? Like, try something different in the run game? But I mean, they look like a team that thought they were going to have this game in hand because for some reason, after their 1-1 start, they were just so much better than everyone. Mm. That's what it looked like.
Do you?
And it was bad.
Are you a fan of, I don't really know how I feel either way, but are you a fan of, you know, AP with the tough talk so early? It's about, you know, we're gonna make some business decisions and all this other stuff. Like,
I think you got to do that with this group and the history this team has. Mm-hmm. You can't wait 5 or 6 weeks and be like, you know, you have to call that out early, because we all saw it. I mean, how much easier could you let it be at times? I mean, you know, and, you know, I know, you know, Deontay Johnson is fast, but, you know, you're going to try to cover him. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were just some busted cover. I mean, you know, no pass rush. I mean, just your offensive line is getting pushed around, you know, I think you can only drop that so many times in a season, but I think considering who they were playing, a team that had been outscored by like what? Like 60 something to dang near. Like, I mean, they hadn't been, they've been terrible. And I know they changed quarterbacks and all, but still, there's no way you should have got dog walked. You shouldn't be down 33-7 in your home opener to an 0-2 team without its best defensive player. You just shouldn't be.
The issue with that as well was the defense was the side of the ball where they just kind of got, you know, just ran
picked
over.
Apart, yeah.
Like that's something that I didn't expect. I could see maybe some turnovers in the offense looking spotty and the defense trying to hold it together, but I mean, they got picked apart on the
yeah, it was just too easy. And then here's my torture. You know, got my whole little screens before and from the morning games. I'm watching Jalen Carter wreak havoc in freaking New Orleans. Mm. Then I got to watch Tyree Wilson do nothing the entire game. Mm. And that draft decision will never set well with me. Mm. I get that Carter had his issues, but I can't. You draft a guy seventh overall to be a pass rusher and he can't get near the quarterback at all. Mm. Like, I'm like, dude, did you, the only time I remember him playing is when they were calling him for a penalty. Mm. So it's like, and he lined up offside and still couldn't get to Andy Dalton.
Is it concerning to you that AP already brought up people making business decisions at the end of that game and the idea that maybe some of his guys weren't playing hard and he's going to have to make business decisions for himself headed into this week's game?
I mean, it's concerning, but I think they got the right coach to do it, because remember when Marcus Peters was out there making business decisions?
Mm.
They said he got to go.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, you're one and two, the season's not lost, but you can't let them. You can't when you've been pretty much bad as long as the Raiders have been for the most part. It's real easy to fall back into here we go again, and now all of a sudden you're 2-7, and you're looking about. So are we going to get? Are we just going to go ahead and tank and try to get Shadur? Mm. And you know that might, you know, you're probably still going to need a franchise quarterback. You will, but it's too early to have guys doing that. And if you got guys on your team who are doing that in week 3. You don't want them around week 17, week 8. You don't.
Right.
You might as well go find someone, you know, on a practice squad or, you know, a free agent who's at least going to play hard for 60 minutes.
Yeah. I forgot, was it Coach AP or was it just the rumor that he already had to declare, like, no, Gardner Minshew's still starting?
No, yeah. AP said that. Yeah.
He was kind of non-committal, I guess, yesterday.
Gardner Minshew is starting. That was either said today or last night. Yesterday, he was non-committal to it. And Sunday,
evaluate. I know today Devontae said that he's behind keeping Minshew in because he said you can't blow it up 3 games in.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I don't think he was the biggest problem they had in that game.
Yeah.
I know O'Connell came in and led a good drive, but I'm like, at what point, folks, do we stop getting fooled by a guy getting into a game late against a vanilla defense because the team is up by 20? Yeah. They're like, oh, look at what he did. And I'm like, chill. I mean, you know, and I just, yeah, I don't think Gardner Minshew is their biggest problem. To me, offensively, their biggest problem is that offensive line is not playing good enough. Mm-hmm. They're not giving him time, and they can't run the ball. And remember, this goes back to last year. Remember, Josh Jacobs kept getting hit in the backfield all the time. People thought was wrong with Josh because of the holdout. I was like, no, he's getting hit 2 yards in the backfield every other run. Mm. So maybe, you know, getting the rookie in there from Oregon is going to help with that, you know, at least on the interior. But to me, that's the most disappointing thing, is that it doesn't matter what Jacoby or Devontae or anyone else does if you can't protect. And they're getting pushed around too much, particularly in the middle of the offensive line. And then I guess there was that one player, I guess it was a Trey Tucker, where they on TV called him out for letting up on that deep pass. Mm. Like, if he keeps running, he probably catches it in stride. So,
yeah.
I mean, they've got enough to be where they shouldn't be down 33-7. I mean, between
especially to the Panthers.
Yeah, between Devontae and it took them forever to get Bowers the ball in that game. And he went into the game leading the tight ends in the league and thinking target receptions. Hmm. So a lot went wrong. If a Raider fan, you hope, you know what, it can't get any worse than that. You know, but it also is a good reminder to them that if they don't show up to play, they're going to get their ass blown out.
Yeah.
They're not good enough to where they can say, you know what, we're trailing. Oh, Gardner will throw for 400 today. Like, y'all don't show up to play, that's what's going to happen to you every week.
And you know, I see people in the chat, you know, saying AP not it, or he's got to go. Maybe he is or whatever. But situations like that, I'm more so I lean towards, you know, the coach can only do so much. He can only remind you so much during practice not to read your own news clippings or not to start filling yourself. Mm-hmm. And like, at some point, they have to take accountability. Those players have to take accountability to make sure they're ready to play, to make sure you don't take a team for granted, to make sure you're mentally locked in. And the fault of just AP didn't have him ready to play. Well, how do you – AP can only do so much. Like, at some point,
a week ago, people were praising AP for keeping him in the game in Baltimore and keeping him engaged and keeping him fighting. Mm-hmm. So I don't think in 7 days he lost all that. Yeah. You know, could they coach better? Definitely. But that was not a – to me, the way that game went, that was not a coaching loss. That was that to me, that's on the players. I mean, unless you want to get into the play calling on offense, but even then, the way that defense got picked apart, I mean, Andy Dalton out there looking like Tom Brady, just dropping, you know, it just, yeah. I can't put all that on the coach. I mean, the players have to own a lot of that.
I think one of the super concerning things is what you said when this conversation started, is they're good for one of these. Like, they had the game in week 7 against the Bears last year against the Division II quarterback. They had the game against Jeff Saturday, fresh off of NFL Live 2 years ago. And you'd like to think that stuff is, you know, that's
they get one, maybe two. Remember they had the 3-0 game
last year? Oh, man, I forgot about that.
What? It's like, really?
Set football back 7 decades with that game.
I said, really? 3-0?
That was crazy.
Remember they called the Fitz Magic game where all you got to do is sit back and keep everything in front of you. They give up the deep one. That was when Gruden – I mean, yeah, they give you one or two of these the same way Shanahan gives you one blown lead.
Where did that – what do you mean? What does Kyle Shanahan have to do with any of this?
I'm just saying there's some things that are trends, like a 10-point lead Shanahan's going to blow.
Stop it. Stop it. Did they blow a 10-point lead when they beat the hell out of the Cowboys and the Eagles last year? They didn't blow that 10-point lead. Settle down.
But they blew the one on Sunday.
Settle down.
I'm just saying. I went to the store. I'm like, this game's over. Should've been over. To the store. And I'm like, what happened?
It definitely should have been over. I mean, unfortunately.
I said, even they can't blow this. I go to the store. Come back to get the kids, to have the kids' birthday dinner. I'm like, they lost?
Unfortunately, damn. Hate to do this to my Michigan alum, but Ronnie Bell, I don't know if I need to see him. I'm not saying he should be cut and lose his job, but I don't need to see him on the field for reps unless, like, everybody's injured.
Hey, but Michigan had a good weekend.
We did. You know what I mean? We went out there, handled business. I told everybody that's what they should do. You know,
betting-wise. That is not what you said.
I said it betting-wise. That's what
you were too big of a coward to acknowledge that you thought they were going to lose.
Then for the second
week in a row, you thought they were going to lose.
Well, first of all, there was a week in between that. Second of all, we're 3-1. We're 3-1. And if for those people that follow me on Instagram, it is on the stories where I said Michigan going to get this.
No, it's not. I follow you on Instagram. There was nothing on your story.
Oh, you blocked me.
And now you know why. Now you know why.
Hey, as an admitted USC hater, I enjoyed that game.
You don't like SC? I didn't know that.
No.
Oh yeah, Cal.
They destroyed our conference, and they blamed everyone except themselves for why they can't win. I'm like, you guys are mad at a conference y'all can't even win. Y'all lose the Pac-12 every year, and y'all want to complain? Like, they complain about money. USC crying poor is hilarious to me. Mm. Of all the schools in the old conference, they're crying poor. Whatever, I will gladly watch them lose Big Ten games every week if I could.
That was actually pretty cool to watch, though. Michigan
lost to
USC.
That was pretty cool. I didn't expect that to be as nostalgic as it was. So
it was like watching a Rose Bowl game, but it wasn't the Rose Bowl.
Yeah. Now what I don't need to see is UCLA versus Purdue.
No.
Well, you're going to see it the way I had to watch Cal go lose at Florida State. You're going to see some weird games.
Well, the U coming to town this Saturday.
Oh, yeah. Next week, that U. Yeah, Miami in Berkeley.
Cam Ward about to go crazy.
Man, well, maybe because they've seen him before because of the Washington State stuff, they'll be able to – they'll be a little – you know, hopefully –
secret weapon right there. They've seen him before.
Yeah, you know, we're going to start getting into our, you know, what ifs, you know. They get a, you know, get that O-line healthy, you know. You know, Francisco Mendoza, you know, comes out there and just picks them apart. You know, we get the big upset in Berkeley. Hey, it can happen.
Storm the field.
There it is. Well,
why were they storming the field in Colorado? That was sad. That was sad.
I didn't bring that part up earlier, but probably didn't need to do that.
Two unranked teams.
Probably didn't need to do that.
They showed some brother, somebody storming the field who was a little heavier than me, struggling to get over.
I saw that guy. Yeah, I saw that guy.
My man. If you just can't hop it, just sit there and let the kids go by.
He almost tore his ACL on the jump down.
Trying to chase down Travis Hunter. It's like, get these grown men away from that kid.
I said,
as someone who ran on the field back in the day at Berkeley, just because to say I did it, I forgot. I don't even know why we did it. We just did. But yeah, I'm like, come on, man. If you got to like do that OG, put one leg over and get over the fence, you probably should just stay in your seat. There's no need for you to, you know, there's no need for that. I mean, but that might have been my favorite part of the weekend, watching that guy struggle.
That was a win.
I'm getting on that field.
Jay, we appreciate you, my man. Thank you as always.
All right, anytime. Catch y'all next week.
Yes, sir. Man. That's our brother Jason Jones right there.
The professor.
I was rooting for the professor's alma mater this weekend. I'm a hater. I was rooting.
They had opportunities.
Yeah, they had it.
10, it felt like.
They had it.
Yeah.
All right. We'll have a couple of games to cover for KC's top 20 games of the Kings season. We're down to the top 5. We're down to the top 4. Now we'll get games number 4 and 3 tomorrow.
Yep.
2 on Thursday. The big reveal on 1. You guys will never guess what game it is coming up on Friday. Also, buy or sell is back.
Ooh.
We'll bring that back after 3 weeks in the NFL season. Stock prices have changed. And, of course, we've got some WNBA playoff games jumping off tonight. So we'll be there to cover all of that. Head over to trainwithmap.fit/ESPN1320. Utilize all of the great sources over there, including the free nutritionist consultation that they have built out for you. You can even do it by email if you don't want to do it through Zoom, if you don't want to do it in person. Use the macro calculator. Click on the maptrition.com link. Get all of the supplements that you need to get your fitness back in place. We are headed out to baseball. Braves and Mets. Two of KC's favorites. Coming up next here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Vamos, Aces.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand and the yummy way to start the school year.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.